It's a war zone. That's the only way to describe it.
Let me play you. I'm going to play two cuts of you. The first one is you at the UN, and you were warning of Germany's dependence on Russian oil. And the second one is you lecturing the head of NATO. You did it. I played it a full 5 minutes. I can't play that much now. About Europe's dependence on oil, while we pay the larger freight in terms of NATO's defense against Russia. I want you to hear the words you uttered back in 2018.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion and intimidation. That is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy needs. Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers. The energy is a much different story than a normal trade. And you have a country like Poland that won't accept the gas. You take a look at some of the countries, they won't accept it because they don't want to be captive to Russia. But Germany, as far as I'm concerned, is captive to Russia because it's getting so much of its energy from Russia. So we're supposed to protect Germany, but they're getting their energy from Russia. Explain that. How do you have to explain that?
The German delegation was laughing when you were at the UN. The NATO had had nothing to respond. Now we have the highest price per gallon of gasoline in the history of the country. We were paying more to heat and cool our homes. We're paying more for every item we buy at every store we go to, a 40-year high of inflation. You predicted a lot of this would happen. How do we get back to energy independence? Because it seems, I don't know if you saw the montage of Joe Biden at the beginning of the show, this is what he ran on, and this is what he promised, and these are the predictable results, aren't they?
Well, he didn't really run on it. If you remember the debate, he would not say anything negative about energy. He said he's considering this and that. Hey, look, he shut down the pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline. He shut it down almost immediately. He never said he was going to do that. He said he's going to study it. He's going to study it long and hard. So he never really said anything that he was going to become a radical on getting rid of our energy, our liquid gold. I call it liquid gold. It's under our feet. Now we have to go buy it from Venezuela, and we have to buy it from Iran and OPEC. I mean, it's just great. And by the way, and Russia. And interestingly, you know, we're not going to buy it from Russia, but Europe is. Much of Europe is. They said, I'm sorry, but we're not, because that's the way it's been. Europe on trade treated us very badly, but it's Europe, and we'll work to protect them also, but we're really protecting them, but they're not doing what we're doing. As far as the pipeline is concerned, I told Angela Merkel loud and clear, and everybody knew it, and there was a lot of reporting on it, and they sort of laughed at me when I said it, but I said, you are going to be a hostage of Russia if you don't do something with this pipeline. You should never, ever make this deal. And by the way, the previous chancellor of Germany heads up the company, the pipeline company. But Nord Stream 2, I said, if you make that deal, you are literally at the mercy of Russia. And Germany shouldn't make the deal. I had an argument. There are those people that say I sent her a white flag of surrender, which I did. Because I said, you have a problem.
Did I hear you right? You sent Angela Merkel a white flag of surrender?
Oh, yes, I did. I sent it to her.
What did she say?
Trying to send it in humor, you know, at that point you could have humor because nobody believed it was possible that what I said was true. But I predicted all of this stuff. And by the way, gasoline, watch. I said it was going to be $7, $8.
Well, hang on a second. Let me prove your point because I have two cuts of you warning about gas prices. Listen.
Well, we have so much oil. We have more oil than anybody, okay? And it's an incredible thing that it's happened over the last few years, a lot of great things, and you're paying, what, $2 a gallon for your gasoline? That's okay. You know what that's like? That's like a tax cut. That's bigger than a tax cut. If Biden got it, you'd be paying $7, $8, $9. Didn't they say, get rid of your car? We're going to build some more windmills.
And gas prices, you like that $2 gas, huh? How about $5, $6, and $7? Darling, let's sell the car. It's a little bit too large. Let's get a compact. Biden's plan is an economic death sentence.
You were right, and now you're right. Can you? I never thought I'd see this country that I love with all my heart and soul be begging a murdering thug dictator like Maduro in Venezuela, begging OPEC, who's continually been rejecting Joe's pleas and begging for more production. And I never thought in my lifetime that we would be begging or doing another deal with Iran that would include importing oil and making the mullahs of Iran rich again. And yet that's where we find ourselves today. Your reaction?
So Maduro of Venezuela was ready to give up. Had we been elected, which we were, had we been elected, I will tell you, Maduro would have given up. They were ready to just concede. They couldn't have gone on any longer. Now it looks like they've got some valuable assets. They have a lot of oil, and they have a lot of, it's rough oil, frankly. It's expensive, but at this price, they have a lot, almost more than anybody. He's going to be a rich person. It's going to be a rich country. You could say a rich dictatorship. And when you look at NATO, what we did with NATO, they were not paid up. They were delinquent. You have 28 countries. There were only 8 of them that were paid, including the United States, which was far more than paid up. We paid for all of the people that weren't paying. And I said, you have to pay your bills. And if you don't pay your bills, we're not going to protect you. They asked me that question. We're not going to protect you. If you're delinquent, we're not going to protect you. And as soon as I said that, they paid hundreds of billions of dollars right into the till. The Secretary General, who is a wonderful guy, Stoltenberg, he's my biggest fan because he never thought it would happen. Obama would go there and make a nice speech. Everybody went there, Bush, they all went there and made the speech. Nobody said, hey, wait a minute, you guys aren't paying your bills. We're protecting you. So they took advantage of us on trade. And on top of that, we took care of their military protection. And that stopped. So NATO now has at least the money, but it has been a little bit of a paper tiger. Now we'll see whether or not they hold together. But something has to be done about this killing. This is a savage situation. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
Let me put up on the screen a poll. It's out by the Trafalgar Group. That's Robert Kahaly. I think he's one of the best pollsters, him and Matt Towery, in the country. And now that President Biden has made the decision to ban Russian oil imports, which of the following places would you most support replacement oil coming from? 76.5% say Alaska, Texas, Pennsylvania, in other words, the U.S. 14.9% say Canada. 4.5% say Venezuela. 2.2% say Iran. And 1.9% say Saudi Arabia. It seems overwhelming to me that Americans prefer to go back to your policies. You did leave office with the country being energy independent and a net exporter of energy, something we hadn't achieved in a long time. But if you listen to Biden, it's a little sleight of hand. We outproduced in our first year more oil than Donald Trump did in his first year. But you were handed off their horrible energy policies in the first place. So you had to reverse it, and you ended up with energy independence. So it's another dishonest moment for Biden.
We took over nothing. We took over. Everything was dead. We just took it over, and we did great. And by the time we finished, we would have been bigger than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined. And we had another thing called ENWR. Ronald Reagan tried to get it approved. Everybody tried to get it approved. That's the biggest, perhaps as big as Saudi Arabia or bigger, in Alaska. And we had it done. I got it done. It was totally done. It was approved. We got it in our big tax cut bill. It was all approved by the House, by the Senate. I signed it. It was done. And they came in and they ended it immediately, almost on the first day. And Lisa Murkowski from Alaska should have never approved that person that came in, because the person, one of the first acts is to end ENWR. This was as big, perhaps, or bigger than Saudi Arabia in Alaska. Would have been jobs forever. Would have been energy forever. And now we have to start it all over again. So it's just a sad thing. But we would have been bigger than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined by far. And we became number one. And also, totally energy independent. We didn't have to go to the Middle East anymore. We didn't have to go to OPEC anymore. And we were at $30 a barrel. We were at less than that during certain points of my administration, as you know very well. But we had inexpensive energy, under $2 for gasoline. And now you're going to be, I mean, I see today that even normal, beautiful Midwestern states are paying $4 and $5, and California is almost $8. But it's going to go much higher than that. It's going to be a shock like this country hasn't had in a long time.
Let me ask you, Mr. President, about inflation. When you left, the consumer price index was 1.4%. Today, a 40-year high of inflation, CPI is 7.9%. If we use the old standard of measuring CPI and inflation, it would be 16% if we didn't use the method in the Carter years. Every single American, Wharton School of Business estimates, is paying anywhere between $3,500 to $5,000 a household. Now we're looking at, with these new record high gas prices, it's going to cost maybe the average family another $2,000 a year. Americans simply can't afford this. We have three more years of this. What are the American people to do? Rick Santoli had a pretty good line. He said, you know, first it was transitory inflation. Now it's corporate greed. Now we're blaming Putin. They blame everybody but themselves, because these numbers represent the pre-invasion of Ukraine.
So the Wharton School, which I love, is the best. And they've been pretty accurate in a lot of predictions, I will tell you that. And the numbers that you're seeing right now are peanuts unless we do something fast. And it starts with energy. If you don't bring down energy costs, because it's a shock. Energy is so all-invasive. It's so powerful on every business, whether it's the trucks or the ovens that cook the bread or anything. Everything is about energy. And if you don't get those costs down, you could really reduce inflation fairly rapidly if you solve the energy problem. But with energy doubling and tripling, as you're going to see, it's already started, but it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better with the attitudes of these people. You know, this Green New Deal is going to destroy the country. These people don't know what they're doing.
What do you think of this, that Biden is now trying to revive this Iranian nuclear deal? Ironically, I mean, sadly, Russia is brokering the deal, apparently along with China, and that would pave the way for importing oil from the mullahs in Iran. Now, I thought the last deal was dumb. To me, this one's dumber.
If that deal happens, you can say that's very potentially the end of Israel. I don't think Israel can allow it to happen, and this country can't allow it to happen. When I terminated that deal, that was such a bad deal. First of all, it was a very short-term deal, but it gave them a very open pathway to having nuclear weapons, and you cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. But it will be the end of Israel, in my opinion, and I've been pretty good at prognosticating and pretty good at predicting what's going to happen if you look at the records that we covered all night long. But it'll be a very bad blow. I don't believe that Israel can allow that to happen. And now what they have is, I mean, think of this. They have Russia and China negotiating the deal for us. And they want billions and billions of dollars. Again, if the Trump administration continued on in place, we would have already had a really good deal with Iran. Everybody would have been happy. It would have been done. And they would have never had a nuclear weapon. They were ready to do it. But now China's buying, you know, as you know, millions of barrels of oil. When I was there, I said to China, if you buy any oil whatsoever from Iran, making them therefore rich, if you're not going to do any business with the United States, we're going to cut it off. We're going to go cold turkey. We're not doing any business with you.
And 30 seconds. You know, unfortunately. We have 30 seconds left. Your thoughts on 2022, and are you going to run in 2024? Less than 30 seconds.
Well, I think we're going to have a tremendous victory in the House. I think we have a really good chance at having, we have some great people in the Senate. And I think a lot of people are going to be very happy in 2024. We have to take them all back.
There's no doubt about it. I don't think things can get much worse. President Trump, always great to have you. Thank you for your time. And unfortunately, that is all the time we have left this evening. We always thank you for being with us. You make this show possible. We are watching very closely. Apparently, we're expecting from our intel community telling us that things are ratcheting up in Kyiv. We'll be watching it all night. Stay tuned. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Laura's next. We'll see you tomorrow night.